This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You're listening to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast, the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I am your host, Jason, because Jeff decided to take back-to-back weeks off, even though he was at my house this past weekend, and I think he spilled cologne all over my upstairs area. I walk up there, and it smells like cologne, so I don't know what he was trying to do up there, if he was hiding what he was doing up there. Maybe he's still recovering from that. I mean, we are older these days. It is 2 days later. I know sometimes it takes your body a little time to recover. But I am here. I will be your host today. So put your seatbelts on. Put your heads and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show with me today.
Not your is hands James and legs. Wesley. Heads and legs.
Yeah, whatever.
It's legs.
Whatever. all appendages. Your third leg. I don't care. Put that in there too. So there is not any Saints news coming out. We are just under 2 weeks away from the draft. So obviously it will ramp up that week. If we were a fan of another team that had a high draft pick, maybe there'd be more to talk about, a lot more discussion going on still, which quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10, all that kind of fun stuff. But for us today, we're just going to talk about Our main topic of discussion today will just be, we're just going to pose a question. What would it take for the Saints to win the division? Currently, Vegas has them as their over-under win total at 7.5. I think their Super Bowl odds are like 80-1. It's pretty damn low. So Vegas does not expect much out of us. I would imagine both the Falcons and the Bucks have better odds than us at this point. There's still a lot of holes in the roster. They didn't do a ton in free agency. We don't have a lot of draft picks either. So that'll kind of be the big question. What would have to go right for us to win the division last year? We did hire a new offensive coordinator, but our head coach is still Dennis Allen. So, you know, that'll be the big thing. Because first off, I don't expect – I would – if I was betting the over-under win totals, I'm going under. I've been fooled way too many times. I'm not biting this year.
At 7.5, at 7.5, you're under?
At 7.5, I'm under.
Yep. Yeah. I'm taking the over on 7.5.
I do not believe in this roster at all. I don't think it's very good. I think we have a lot of holes. I think we have a lot of aging players. And it'd be one thing if we had, like, oh, we got 10 picks in this year's draft to kind of reload the roster. We don't. We have a first and a second, and then, what, we don't have until a fifth, right?
Yeah, but I think we have 9 picks in total.
Yeah, after our all of our
– we don't have a fourth round pick.
Yes,
we
don't have a third round.
Third and fourth round.
Yeah. Yeah, if we had more in the third and fourth round, I'd feel better. I'm sure we'll use some of these picks and trade. We will. Yeah, we'll use
them. We're not selecting 9 players. Let's just
we kind of need to. We got a lot of holes. We need to get younger.
I don't disagree with you at all about the problems that we have. I could be crazy. I think the absolute floor of this current team is probably 6 games, maybe 7.
Oof.
Just because we're going to talk about, can we win the division? I think it's going to be our non-division games is where we figure out if we're a 500 team or not, because I think that the division's pretty rough. I do think there's definitely some holes. I don't think we're a good team. I don't think we're in the, but I also think we're in a bad division. Somebody's got to have close to a winning record. I think that even in a terrible division, you probably got to win 8 games just because the rest of the division's bad. And
nine won the division last year. It's going to take at least that one. Like, one of these teams is just going to be, they're going to have to be better, right? This division can't be this bad. Continues. Now, Carolina's going to be fucking terrible.
Yep.
So you can probably pencil in 2 wins for the Saints against Carolina. But I wouldn't have a ton of faith.
Tampa Bay getting better doesn't seem. I mean, I think they might hold serve, but I don't think Tampa Bay is getting better.
They're probably where they're. Yeah, they're probably where they're at. I mean, Atlanta.
Vegas, lost Jack Barrett.
Yeah, Vegas says Tampa Bay have got this. Well, they've got the same win over under as us on the wins. They're 7.5. Yeah, huh. Yeah. Guess take a stab at the Falcons.
9.5.
Bingo. Wrong. 9.5.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah.
And Carolina are 4.5.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, I'd take the under on that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's just all going to depend on how quickly Cousins comes back from his Achilles. But he's also 30. How old is Kirk Cousins at this point? 35? Is he 35?
Or 36?
Huh. I can't believe he's that old.
Old.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily. I like them signing him for as many years as they did and what they did. I'm not sure how good he's going to be this year coming off of the big Achilles. But I'm definitely not worried about him the next year.
Oh no.
I really wonder whether or not he's ever going to be a good quarterback again, which is fine with me. Oh no. He is 35. He will turn 36 before the season starts.
Okay. I can't believe he's that old. But yeah, he's been in the league for a while, and he was a senior. So, So
Carolina's going to be bad. Yes, we can all agree. Tampa Bay's probably considered. I mean, I'm probably the over under on win totals. Probably right. They're probably considered like about even with us competition. And Atlanta rises and falls with Kirk Cousins. If Kirk Cousins doesn't come back from this injury right, isn't good, I think Atlanta's not a good team again. Like, they're, it's kind of puts all three of us in that same one. If he comes back and plays decent, I think that they're, I mean, they probably, I mean, I'd rightfully favor them over us for this year.
Do you think they could still take a quarterback at 8?
No.
Even after signing Cousins?
No.
0%. No. Not with the amount of years they did and all.
Yeah. The Falcons are essentially what we were last offseason. New quarterback. If that quarterback plays well.
I think they're way younger besides the quarterback.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. There's, I mean, in terms of like expectations.
No, I think theirs is way higher. I mean, a couple of us.
Did you listen outside to our of New Orleans? No, show? Y'all had 11
no,
wins.
I'm saying outside of New Orleans fans, I don't think anybody was hyped about what the we were going to do.
I think a lot of people predicted us to win the division last year. They just assumed. Now, some of it was, well, this division sucks.
I think it was because even though we don't like Derek Carr, he's by far the best of the four quarterbacks in the division. Until Bryce Young actually steps into that.
The Steph Curry of the NFL.
Potential.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, even with the holes that we have right now, I think that we have a potential to compete for the division. I'll put it that way.
Okay, so what do we need to do? Like, what? So offensive line is a clear issue. We don't know what's going to happen with Ramczyk. Pete is still unsigned. So if as of today, with the roster that we have, who is our starting five on the offensive line? You've got Jesus. McCoy, Ruiz. You got a pencil in Penning, right? Kick him in at guard.
I think Penning's either the right or left tackle.
Yeah.
Listen, I think Penning's the left tackle because I think that as much as he struggled telling him to play another new position would be probably bad. Dumb.
Right.
So Saldivari?
If Ramczyk can't go.
Well, would that be the right tackles, then either the right or left tackle is not on our roster.
He's going to come to our team in two weeks.
I might sit here and have this conversation with y'all and say, like, I have some belief that Trevor Penning can become a starter. I'm not going to also say that Landon Young can become one. I can't do it. I can only so far say that I'm also not going to say that James Hurst is all of a sudden going to refine. I think James Hurst is fine for a veteran backup, but to count on him is different. We've heard the only thing about Trevor Penning is we've heard he's at the number one offseason quarterback. What's it called? The offensive line, whatever the number one offensive line camp, tackle doctors or whatever it is.
Oh, jeez.
And supposedly just doing great and like actually understanding the game and reaching, you know, some of that potential. We hear it's off season, so I'm not going to, but at least there's a reason to be like, maybe. So if we can pencil Trevor Penning in as one of the tackles, yeah, you're talking about, you know, McCoy, Ruiz, somebody like Saldivari, or I mean, James Hurst is a guard. I'm not cringing at. I think there's not less than a 40% chance that Andrus Peak comes back here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's 50-50, but it's not less than 40. I mean,
so
and I want Pete starting at guard over James Hurst, but the way we sit right now.
Give me that, yeah.
I would love for Saldivari to take that step that we kind of like from what we heard and saw about the Senior Bowl over a year ago, but that didn't turn into anything in his first NFL season.
Is he at the same camp that Penning's at? He needs to be. So this all leads me to leave that with one of our two picks, whether they stay there, I mean, I laugh when I say trade back because I know that's not what we're going to do. But in one of our two picks, it seems like has to be an offensive lineman. We can't afford not to because if we don't have, if our offensive line sucks, there's no chance to do anything. So that's the number one thing to me is that we have to fix the offensive line.
Yep. And I think there are. I mean, we're getting more into draft than anything, but like there are players. There's two players to me that non-offensive linemen. There's two players that if they fall, you go and you draft them. It's Dallas Turner and Brock Bowers. I don't think either one of them falls. I really don't think Dallas Turner's not falling. So, but
yeah,
I'm just saying,
there's no chance.
If Brock Bowers falls, you run up there and you figure out the offensive line in the second round, or at that point, you probably are the Saints are trading back into the bottom of the first from that second, which
I hate it so much. I don't want
to
do it.
But waiting to see who's the best offensive lineman at 45 doesn't make me feel good.
No.
I mean, I mean, that's like the same area where you picked Foskey, and you saw the difference between a first round and a second round. Actually, our first and second round defensive linemen are all the same. But yeah. I mean, between Brzee and Foskey, you saw like the fall off there from the 20 to 45.
I mean, but that just goes to our scouting. Like, yeah, there were good players there. We just didn't pick the right one. And us trading up, sometimes it works. But, man, a lot of times it's like, oh, fuck, really? That's what we did?
But yes, we have to pick an offensive lineman with one of those two picks. And unless, again, somebody that's just a surefire top eight pick falling to 14, it's that first pick.
Yeah.
So
consensus is there's probably four, maybe five offensive tackles that will go in the first round, and the drop off after that is pretty severe.
The last I saw it was eight or nine offensive linemen.
Really?
Yes.
It's right. Okay.
Linemen. And then there's a lot of chatter about some of these guys that right now before the draft, because of what they played in college, are called tackles, but that aren't NFL tackles. Like, they're going to be drafted like as Penny. A tackle, and they will never play a snap at tackle because they're just not. I mean, they're first round offensive linemen that aren't going to be definitely going to be a left tackle. So you're talking about three left tackles in the first round.
Yeah.
And one of them's kind of, yeah, maybe. Could do it. So, I mean, listen, the Saints, to me, also are in a weird spot where, yes, there's eight or nine offensive linemen going to be drafted, but three of them are true top 15 picks. And depending on the other way that it falls, with, like, say, a couple of quarterbacks don't get the, it's becoming pretty regular to see five quarterbacks drafted in the top 12 picks now. Like, it's almost accepted by everybody that Nix is in there. And I saw Penix go in the top 13 before we drafted.
Yeah,
well,
remember when Will Levis was projected to go top 10?
Oh, yeah,
it's
for
like,
sure. For
you
sure.
Know, I mean, I even saw I was listening to the radio today, the guys in Washington, because they have the second pick. Like, yeah, well, this mock draft had Drake May last until 12. I'm like, well,
no, that's not.
You know, it's just everybody's because they have to throw out so much shit. They're throwing all kinds of shit because people are like, ooh, what if that happened? And I get excited. Kind of like what you guys are going to do on your mock draft shows. You're going to have a couple of shows and you're going to have some off the wall picks, right? Where like Jaden Daniels will go like 28th to whoever, right? That's a joke.
No, the lowest he would go is 14.
But the Saints don't draft Saints don't draft LSU players.
In that one, I think. No, I mean, it's a. I mean, there's a lot with it, and it's going to depend on how those fall. Like, we need one of the top three offensive linemen to fall to us. Now, the Saints also, for better or worse, may have a very different ranking system on these offensive linemen than other people.
I mean,
based on their system and what
RAS,
their new
baby RAS. Well, who's got the best RAS?
Well, what their new blocking system is going to be, like, we don't know what that is, but like they're bringing a different style of offense now. Thank goodness. So we'll just
go. God, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
but offensive lineman has to be.
Yeah. And I mean,
if we're going to compete in this division, there needs to be a starting caliber offensive lineman that we don't have that's never played for the Saints that's signed or drafted between now and then.
So another player that I think we need to see big improvement from. And I'm going to stay on the offensive side of the ball.
You got a bad attitude and you don't listen. We do things around here my way. You understand that? You think you're in some fancy school? Bullshit. You show me the kind of smarts, makes me wonder if you know the difference between a sneeze and a wet fart. You're going to be second string all your life, boy.
So, yeah, one of the guys I think we need to see best improvement from is Kendre Miller, because I think he can be
That's
a weapon.
Teamwork, by the way.
Yes, and we're gonna need him, and I don't want to at this point in Alvin Kamara's career. I don't want to overuse him. I'd like to, you know, he needs somebody to split carries with and be effective. And Miller was hurt all last year. I think if he can come in, he did show. I think there was one game that he looked really, really good this year.
last game of the season.
Yeah. If he can come in and look just 75% like that, I think that would go a long way to helping the offense move the sticks and stay on the field.
Yeah, I mean he ended the season with 13 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown against the Falcons, so over 5.5 yards a carry, which is, basically his season numbers in one game. I also think that it's crazy to think of going into this season without. Like you sit there and can say it's a crowded backfield, because you've got Kamara and Jamal Williams and Kendre Miller, but I don't know if you can count on any of the three of them to play 12 games effectively. I mean, Kamara's older. He gets injured or suspended every single season.
He only gets suspended once.
I know.
Yeah,
but
come on. Did Jeff just take over your body for a second? Because that's such a Jeff comment.
But Jamal Williams, I mean, looked absolutely worthless last year, and maybe there's some injury that kept him from being effective, but let him play. And then Kendre Miller, like, you can't count on him to be. And I think that probably late in this draft, fifth round, the Saints are going to have to bring in a running back to push those guys and make you cut somebody or make somebody earn a job. I also think offensively, listen, I think Rashid Shaheed has tons and tons of potential, especially with this new offensive system that we're going to play in. Having said that, as many problems as there were between Carr and other players and people being on the wrong page, Rashid Shaheed was by far on the wrong page more than everybody else combined, of running the wrong route or going the wrong place. And there has to be an improvement there. And I don't know if, even if he does improve with that, like, I think there needs to be some sort of pass catcher, because the Rashid Shaheed running the wrong routes and the Juwan Johnson just completely disappearing makes me worried. Like, we need some sort of premium large pass catcher, because there isn't a big body like Michael Thomas anymore. And I don't know if that's a big time tight end or if it's a big time receiver. When I say big, I'm talking about big person. We're going to have to get somebody to be another receiver there. I have a lot of faith in A.T. Perry, because what he showed us was insane for somebody drafted where he was and scouted the way he was, what he started showing us at the end of the year. But there needs to be somebody else in there that we can count on. You know, if we block the defensive players from getting to the quarterback, then we'll have the potential to throw the ball and somebody's got to catch it.
Well, so that is it. Like, with the rushing and the receiving, like, yeah, you need the offensive line to be better to allow these guys the room to perform. So there is that as well.
The only position then we haven't mentioned on the offensive side of the ball is the quarterback. So we might as well throw that one in there to talk about that.
It is what it is. I'm not fighting it.
There's not much we can do about him. He's here.
He's the quarterback.
He's it.
But then, you know, it all falls to our first point, which was the offensive line. Towards the end of the season, the offensive line was giving him time and protecting him, and he had a great stretch for the last four or five games of the season.
I think after the first five or six games of the season, and probably about the time that Penning got benched, things got quote-unquote better to where, I mean, at least in the area of league average for blocking.
It was kind of wild when Andrus Peat took over at left tackle. We got a lot better. I can't believe those words came out of my mouth, but that's what happened.
And also, like, what it was after December 7th or 8th, like, Derek Carr had some of the best numbers in the entire NFL as a quarterback for yards, completion percentage, touchdowns versus interceptions. Like, things did really get better the last five or six games of the season as far as moving the ball in offensive numbers. I mean, there's a potential there, I guess, to.
Yeah, potential.
Now, so, and then defensive side. I mean, I like the Willie Gay signing. I think that's it ends up pushing Pete Werner to be a backup, which helps for DeMario and Willie Gay. It has You have a guy that, that keeps Pete Werner healthy, but it also is a very good backup. I don't know how much faith we're going to. If Chase Young's healthy, we actually have like a really crowded defensive end room. Like,
I honestly forgot we had Chase Young on the team.
I'm not saying we have an elite defensive end room with, but it's crowded. Like, I don't even know where another person actually goes in, that if there's even a roster spot available for a fifth round draft pick to earn a spot, because there's a lot of guys that are veterans that we've got on the team.
There's five: Cam Jordan, Chase Young, Peyton Turner, Carl Granderson, Foskey.
Does anyone expect anything? Am I missing out of anybody? Peyton Turner.
Well, Pasanio is still on the team.
He is. Sorry, yes.
You've got Nico Lalos is still signed to the Saints as well, and I go, he hasn't played a lot, but like the Saints like him, and we bring him back every year, give him a shot. So if he's healthy, but yeah, that's seven defensive ends.
Seven, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are any of them good?
One of them used to be.
Al Granderson, I'd say he classes as good.
Granderson. Yep. Granderson.
Yeah. I mean, if Granderson and Young are your quote unquote starters, with rotating with, if Cam Jordan's, I don't know if health even makes Cam Jordan good, but if we hear that he was very unhealthy last year. I just can't even talk about Peyton Turner. Like, I just,
right. I mean,
he hasn't played enough football to even have a preseason offseason conversation about.
Right. I was going to say, are we going to get anything out of him? Anything?
I wouldn't think so.
You can't. I think at this point you have to assume no, right?
Well, he's played three seasons and his career sacks is three. I mean,
what the fuck?
His 29 total tackles in three seasons.
How many games is that in three seasons?
15 games.
15.
Oh, only two last year with no sacks. One tackle last year.
Thanks, Sean.
So
what a disaster of a fucking draft pick.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, right next to those guys, I think there is definitely a spot to pick a defensive tackle.
Yes.
I think you've got to throw a defensive tackle in there, because while Brzee is our only, I don't know if above average, but good defensive tackle, like, and he had, I think it's easy to forget that dude had 4.5 sacks as a defensive tackle as a rookie, which is an incredible number to do. But then you're talking about outside of that, Saunders and Shepard were the guys we signed last year, but they were never brought in to be like big time killers. No. Like, they're rotational guys that are fine. But outside of that, you're talking about Jack Heflin and John Penis Eni. And it's actually spelled penis eni. So yeah, okay. That's our four defensive tackles on the entire roster.
Yeah. We definitely need to find somebody to go alongside Brian Brzee, because he is your number one starting defensive tackle. You need somebody alongside him.
Yep. And I'm not going to act like I don't think listen, like, the Saints like their NASCAR package where they take some defense, they just line up defensive ends across the board. I think that Pasanion has played some interiors, moved inside a little bit. I think you'll see that. I think Cam Jordan might move inside a little bit this year, possibly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, just smarts wise, kind of playing that.
The issue is that we lost. So for 4 or 5 years, the Saints were amazing against the run. The last 2 years, that's kind of dropped off a little bit. Last year, we were not good against the run at all. And that's what we need to improve. And like you said, strengthening the defensive line, especially the interior defensive line, is going to go a long way to sorting that out.
I feel good about where we're at with linebackers, which I wasn't sure about but these the last two signings we made. I feel good about. I'm not even going to talk about Marshawn Lattimore leaving. He's not leaving.
We can't afford him.
I feel good about where our defensive backs are. between him and Adebo and Taylor and Amadi and all. Like, I feel good about all that. And then safety, like you just sit there and kind of somebody like Jordan Howden or Jonathan Abram is going to have to, or Ugo Amadi, like somebody's going to have to play better than what they ever have. Something like that.
Yeah, I was listening to Nick Underhill's podcast. This latest one came out today, and they were talking about the safety position and how the fact that the league in general, but particularly the Saints, are really devaluing is the wrong word, but they're not putting the resources into the safety position. So the safety position is getting the treatment that the running back position had 5 years ago, where they're just, I mean, look, you know, Justin Simmons was let go by the Denver Broncos. He's been one of the best safeties in the league for the past 5 years, and he hasn't signed with anybody. They literally let him go for nothing, and he hasn't signed with anybody. So, no, the league is telling you that the safety position isn't a valued position. And, you know, that might change in a couple of years. You know, it goes in cycles, doesn't it? But it seems to me that definitely safety is getting the, if you're a safety, it's not the time to be not the time to be a free agent right now.
Definitely not. Yeah, and another thing, we're definitely gonna need to be better in the kicking game. I mean, that's huge. Our kicking game sucked. Punter was bad. Kicking was bad. We signed the new kicker.
We talked about this. We talked about this last week, didn't we? We made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
With both kickers.
With both, yeah, with both. Yep. So.
We should have kept Will Lutz last year.
Yeah.
100%.
And we should have brought back Thomas Morstead, but we didn't do that. So yeah, that's gonna be huge. That's gonna be massive. So
yeah. Sorry, Wesley, you missed our safety. Our safety talk then, and we just went straight on to special teams instead.
Yeah, like we
I just said that the safety position seems to be being massively devalued in the NFL at the moment, and the league, it's, as I said, Justin Simmons, one of the best safeties for the past 5 years, was let go by Denver and hasn't had a sniff of a deal from anywhere else yet.
Yeah, I think that he wants to get paid more money than what anybody wants to pay, and he deserves it. And listen, if I don't think it's possible or smart for the Saints to allow Taysom or Alvin Kamara to play this year under the current contracts. I don't think either one of them are worth it. I don't think they're smart. I think it's a waste of money for both of them for what they've brought and the way they've played and what their ages are. If you restructure those, there's somewhere else to spend some money. I don't know. I think it's weird that we haven't heard something yet from either one of those contracts, but there has to be, I'm guessing, a Saints versus those two players staring contest of who's going to blink or agree to something or kind of stuff like that. But there's going to be a way for us to sign another free agent at some point.
Yeah. They're the last two contracts, the last two big contracts to.
They're the last two
manipulate, aren't they?
I think they're the last two on the roster.
I mean, right, but it's also to a point I mentioned before. It's like, I don't want to keep touching all these contracts. It's for an older guy like Kamara. Like, I don't want to touch it. Like, I don't want to bring
I think the Saints are holding out for either one of them to agree to
take
a pay cut.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, no,
but
yeah, yeah. I don't think you restructure them either. I think the point of it is letting them.
I mean, I think Taysom's compensated fairly for everything he does. I don't have a problem with Taysom's. Now, Kamara at this point, with his age, yeah, it's going to be more than what he's worth, but he ain't going to take a pay cut. So, I don't know.
So I know we named a lot of positions. What are there two or three that you're like, if we improve this, then, I mean, we can't just have the perfect all-star roster. So, are there a couple positions they were like, okay, here's the ones that if we do this, we win the division. Now, again, I'm not talking about winning the Super Bowl. It's winning the division. We don't need a perfect team to win the division and win 9.5 games.
It's the trenches for me. It's the offensive and defensive line. That's the two. Mm-hmm. I think we've got enough in the other positions to get by to the point where we might win the division. But as it stands right now, the offensive and defensive line are not where we need them to be in that position.
I kind of agree with it. And maybe the head coach.
Offensive line, without a doubt. I think that we're just so shallow at defensive tackle. I don't know. We don't need like a big time Pro Bowler, but we need somebody that can actually eat up minutes and just plug the space and tackle people.
Can we get a Gilbert Brown in there, like a 340-pound guy to just, you're there. They are. That's what they need.
Not Malcolm Brown. Need Gilbert.
Yeah, I'm going old school. What about the effect? I mean, one thing that, you know, if there's an incredibly positive effect with Kubiak taking over the offense, I mean, that's one thing. If he comes in and he's, you know, oh my God, this guy is a fantastic offensive coordinator. Our offense looks amazing. Like that's a big part too, in addition to the guys we have on the field. But if he can scheme and kind of overcome some of our shortcomings, that to me, that's one of the bigger questions that are out there with him coming in.
So, yeah. And I do think, I know I mentioned it. We need a pass catcher. I would get the other two are more important to me. If I was picking, also, so accepting that Dennis Allen is our coach, I would love to have a premium style, excellent punter, because we're going to punt, or a field goal kicker that I trusted. I'd probably pick the punter right now over, at least over what Headley is. I'm somewhere between punter, and if I was just trying to stick with three, it'd be a punter or a pass catcher. I just completely went into last season thinking Juwan Johnson was going to be something special for us, and he was no showed us for most of the year. And just know, Saints wide receivers, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, A.T. Perry, right? You feeling pretty good? Okay, what do we have behind them? Stanley Morgan and Cedric Wilson Jr. That's the five wide receivers on the roster.
Can we bring back your cousin, James? Can we bring back Kwon Baker?
Is he not on the practice squad still?
He's not on the roster at all. Those are the five wide receivers on our roster. And again, tight end is Juwan Johnson and Foster Moreau. And then you got Tommy Hudson and Michael Jacobson. That's four tight ends.
Like, that's not great.
If we
don't chuck in Taysom in there,
if we do figure out blocking, Derek Carr needs people to throw to.
He does. Yeah, he does. I mean, Cedric Wilson is a number five.
You're not about to convince me of this.
No. As a 4-5, but you know, his last good season was what, 2-3 years ago.
He had a good season.
He
had 1 year in Dallas where he caught 600 yards. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the other four seasons of his career, he combined for 600 yards.
Yeah. Well, you know, even the sun shines on a dog's ass someday.
I mean, he's Tre'Quan Smith.
Just to show you, we got a lot of holes. We need to fill them with some picks. Oh, man. Is it possible to feel even worse now after like trying to get excited? Be like, this is how we win the division. This is how we win the division. Oh my God, our roster is not good.
I think we just need some basic things to win the division, though. And it's just because I just don't think everything's gonna click for Kirk Cousins. But
I don't know. I really think the bottom could really fall out this year, and it could be like you said, the floor is six. I mean, I think we could easily, like, if everything goes wrong.
Well,
I mean, we could end up winning like four games.
For me, the one thing that could go wrong is if Derek Carr gets injured, because I'm not counting on Jake Haener and Nathan Peterman to win any football games against even the Panthers.
I want Taysom starting in that scenario.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
There's a lot that goes. And Derek Carr got banged up last year, and like it or not, he fought through injuries and played hurt, which, I mean, he ended up at the last of the season playing well, but if he gets hurt and misses games, yeah, you got
dicey.
Very dicey. And he's a quarterback that, I mean, last year at least he took hits and got thrown down. Some of that's because of the bad offensive line. So
I was gonna say, if the offensive line is just that, bad, he might get crushed.
If you don't fix the offensive line, there might be a better chance of him getting hurt.
Oh boy.
But yeah, backup QB is a sneaky need, actually.
Yeah.
It's not great.
You'll take great. Michael Penix Jr. at 14?
I wouldn't say no to Michael Pratt in the fifth round.
I just don't see him last until the fifth. But
No. I actually yesterday took Penix in the second round. I don't think he falls that far in a real draft, but if he did, like, I'm completely fine with the Saints doing that. Like, because he needs some development. He needs some NFL coaching. He falls in line directly with 2 years from now when Carr's leaving gone. And then Penix has learned how to play quarterback, and he's not perfect yet, but that dude can throw a football, and it kind of does it at a special level.
It's a long-term thinking that the Saints don't usually employ. Yep. That's the only issue there.
Well, so. I mean, just because they weren't successful, did you know that they almost drafted Patrick Mahomes with Drew Brees in the war room? Maybe the Saints do want to draft the quarterback early. They just haven't been successful with the right one yet.
Maybe. So, all right. Well, but I think that's.
I think there is a way. Just the division. At least two teams in our division are shouldn't be better than us.
I don't know. I kind of have a feeling we're going to finish third, but we got a lot of time to get into that. I've been down on them, and I'm some of it is still bitter because I changed my record prediction last year because got sucked in.
I will say that just because I also will sort of agree that, like, things could get bad. The one thing that I'm not okay with us doing this year is trading next year's first or second round draft pick. I don't have any faith that the Saints won't do it.
That's what they do. Lewis is going to smack his gum. He's like, well, we like this guy this year, so it was worth it.
I see a real scenario where we draft at 14. We're all doing our talking on draft night, blah, blah, blah. And the Saints have just traded their 2025 first and third for the 22nd pick in the draft. And even if they pick, like, Brian Thomas Jr., I'm not going to be happy.
Right.
Because they could be trading away the third overall pick.
It is kind of the reason why we go, let's say even we pick at 14, we got to stay up for the full first round of the draft. Never know what we're going to, shit we're going to do. You just never know. So, all right. Well, that is enough Saints talk for me. So now let's get into any final thoughts. We can start with anybody. But if y'all don't want to start, I'll go. I can't believe I'm talking Saints because this is Masters week. This is the best week of the year. I am fully into all the Masters coverage. In addition to being the best major out of the four, due to the PGA Live split, this is the first time every year that now you get some of these Live guys playing together with the PGA guys, including the Defenders Masters champ, John Rahm. So I'm excited to have everybody back, even though I think they're all dickheads. But this week is just amazing. Supposedly the course is playing fast and firm. It hasn't done that in a while, and that's what I'm looking forward to. So I am ready for a great tournament. Tiger is playing.
One round.
Well, he's trying to make the cut, because if he makes the cut, that means he sets the all-time consecutive cuts made at Augusta. But I think he'll withdraw in round three just because he can't take his body can't walk that course anymore, unfortunately. Even though he knows the course, his body just can't walk it for 4 days. But I'm excited. I'm pulling for Rory, but I kind of think Spieth. I don't know. I just have this weird vibe that, like, Spieth is going to win. He always plays well there. He seems to be hitting the ball pretty well. So I'm just excited. I'm going to be watching the Masters for four straight days, and I just give us a good finish, give us a good winner. The Masters usually delivers, and it is usually kind of like the top 15 to 20 guys in the world tend to win the Masters. You don't have
not anybody from LIV winning it though, right? A PGA.
Everybody's LIV now. They own it. Every single person you're mentioning is a LIV golf player. They're not an amateur. Yet. They own them.
That's not been a fight. No, I don't.
So that is the interesting thing. It is take this merger ain't happening anytime soon. And I think Rom was mentioning he thought by him leaving, it would make it happen sooner, and it's not. And I think there's a little bit of regret in his voice. Now, sure, he got paid a lot of fucking money, but you could tell he misses. I mean, he didn't get to defend.
I'm sure the bank balance three titles helps.
I mean, yeah, whatever, but the bank balance was fine to begin with. Like, the dude was rich. The dude wasn't poor. But there's a lot
to be said. It's going to be interesting when it comes to Ryder Cup selection in a year and a half's time or whenever it is, because as it stands at the moment, the European team will still not pick anybody who is Liv.
Hey, look, if you guys don't want to put Rom on the team, I am fine with that.
It's going to change. That's when it will change, because the European team will be decimated.
But so they did interview Tiger today. It sounds like he's going to be in line to be the captain at Bethpage next year for the Ryder Cup. So that's
really,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Cause he's got a great Ryder Cup record, hasn't he?
As a player, but as a captain, who knows? He can't be worse than Zach Johnson.
No, that's true.
Tiger's got better style, so that at least they won't wear a stupid, ugly shirt this year. If the next one of
they need to go back and wear the shirts from '99, the ugly ass shirts.
Oh, well, the ones from Brookline.
Oh yeah, yeah. that's my final thought.
I got one quick one and then one real one, but. Red Bull's back. Max Verstappen's just the best F1 driver.
That was insane. Yeah, just so far clear of everybody else.
Absolutely ridiculous. It kind
of
looked like that maybe this was going to be a competitive year, and maybe it's early. Things could. It's not. He's just the best. Red Bull's just the best team. They're putting out the best car. This whole salary cap thing didn't slow them down at all. All it did was just ruin Mercedes. But crazy what's happening there, but it is three games depending on when you're listening to it away from the NBA playoffs starting, and the Western Conference is so fun these last this last week to see where everybody's going to end, and I'm personally super excited about what the Dallas Mavericks are doing, because they've got the best record over the last few months, and right now I'd favor them against anybody besides Boston or Denver. And they can compete with Denver. I just hope that somebody goes crazy and knocks off Boston in the Eastern Conference, because they're insane. I think they're by far the best team in basketball, but really fun what's going on with the playoffs. I'm hoping the Pels actually, I would like to see y'all avoid the play-in, because that play-in's dangerous.
I want nothing to do with it.
That play-in with if you're talking about the Pelicans, the Kings, the Lakers, and the Golden State Warriors in the play-in, like, any of those teams can beat anybody on any night in one game. So
I'm not worried about that. I wouldn't be worried about the Kings. I'd just be worried about what the refs are going to do if it's the Warriors or the Lakers, because I know we're just going to get fucked if it's one of those two teams. So I just want to avoid that at all cost. And hopefully Pels can get the sixth seed and Denver gets the one seed, so we avoid Denver. And you guys can take them in the second round.
James, got any final thoughts?
Yeah, a bit of a random one from me, but WrestleMania this weekend. Sunday night, the main event. The last 10 minutes of that main event is probably the best ending to a WrestleMania I've seen for years. The Cena run in, then The Rock coming down, then The Undertaker showing up, and then Cody Rhodes finally, you know, getting the pin on Roman Reigns. Absolutely brilliant. You know, it's basically part of that story was 10 years in the making, where Roman Reigns hit Seth Rollins with the chair, like 10 years after they broke the Shield up, with Seth Rollins hitting Roman with the chair. Just perfect storytelling. I mean, I think everybody in the crowd was expecting Austin to be the final run-in. Which is why it was such a surprise when The Undertaker showed up to do it. But man, what a great ending to a WrestleMania.
Do you think Austin was supposed, like, do you think their plan was actually Austin and they just couldn't agree to it, or they just, it was, you think it was Taker? Or
I think it was probably always Taker. Like, Austin, I think, is what the fans would push for. And I would, if I was just guessing, I would have thought that Austin would have been more likely to actually say yes to it. But it was a cool moment for Undertaker. It's, and I don't So I watch wrestling. I watch like three wrestling matches a year. I'll watch the last few minutes of the Royal Rumble, and I'll watch the final of WrestleMania on Saturday and the final of WrestleMania on Sunday. And I did the same thing this year. Actually, I turned off the Royal Rumble because it was so bad this last time. I couldn't even make it through it. But I watched the final two matches, Saturday and Sunday. It would have, I believe that I'm correct that Goldust is still a wrestler in another,
I think he's in TNA AEW, or something, right? Or TNA.
He's in AEW. He's in AEW.
Okay.
It was missing that he couldn't have been there. And I get it. There was no way possible. But like, that would have been a pretty damn cool thing to have figured out some way to have Dustin there. I think that would have been awesome. But no, the way they finished it was good. And I mean, and then the Monday thing was weird. You can tell The Rock got rattled by the crowd and never really fully recovered. Like he had fun with the crowd, but he never got back into his delivery of whatever he handed to.
Oh, Cody. Yeah.
There's something weird going on that they're setting up. It looks like The Rock didn't leave though, which is, so we'll see when he gets pulled back into this and actually, but he definitely did his job being a heel and kind of getting involved here and to push WrestleMania to what it was. Cause it's just, is it kind of scary for like current wrestling fans that the way to get WrestleMania going was to bring back people who hadn't been in the ring? John Cena has not been in a wrestling ring since 2019. The Rock in 9 years has not wrestled a match. And Undertaker, I mean, I don't even know.
Cena came back about a year ago. Yeah.
I thought he hadn't been at WrestleMania since 2019.
Maybe WrestleMania, but I know he's been on it. I know people were making fun of like his bald spot.
Yeah, no, and there was definitely a bald spot. You know what? But yeah, I don't know.
That's what happens when wrestlers get old.
I mean, yeah, but to your point though, you know, it's you want your show to end on a high. You bring Cena in, yep. The Rock comes out, then the Undertaker comes in to close it out. You know, you can't get. I mean, you know, we talked about it on a show earlier on when CM Punk returned and the noise the crowd made when his music started. That was 60,000-70,000 people in Philadelphia that all made the same kind of like wow sound when the Undertaker's music went off.
Yeah,
pretty special.
It was a good job by them. And I mean, listen, I think that you can clearly see a difference now that Triple H is totally in charge and making decisions.
Yeah. And one final shout out, Paul Heyman's speech at the Hall of Fame ceremony on Thursday night, Friday night, whatever it was. Go back and listen to it. Really, really good.
All right, good stuff. That's it. Well, that's all the show we have for you today. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading and listening to every episode of the Don't Patrol podcast. You can like and subscribe. You can hit the auto downloads. You can find us on Twitter, not X. We will have our Facebook live draft show in just under 2 weeks. The draft will be that Thursday night. We'll be live on there. Feel free to come on and hang out for a few minutes, chat with us. It's gonna be a long first round.
The Saints with us.
14th, definitely drink with us. I mean, that's a given, you know. Maybe we'll pull out some shots. I don't know. We'll do something fun. But that'll be in just under 2 weeks. So we're definitely going to be ramping up into the draft. And, of course, you two will have your mock draft shows that'll be coming out over the next couple of weeks. I won't be participating. Yep. It's not my thing.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will.
No, I won't. Is there like
He's a closet mocker.
I mean, as long as there's a Division III fullback that I can draft in the first round, then, yeah, I'll do it because that's actually –
your mock draft, you can draft whoever you like.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's all we got today. So say bye-bye, donkeys. Bye-bye, non-Masters Week golfers. Gophers.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Dome Patrol Podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.